When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. You got the full team here. I'm Adam, that's Nikki, that's Dan. It's been a very eventful weekend in the world of golf, not only in golf, but also we've got Super Bowl week, it's Waste Management Phoenix Open week, we had the Grammys last night, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. But before we do that, Nikki, nice to see you again. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm a little peeved that you guys got to like be together and hang out and be pals without me, but that's okay. I'm here now, so that's fine. That's fine.
We are here now. It was a good time down in Orlando. Dan, we had a fun time getting a chance to record face-to-face. We did dinner. We met a few people at the PGA show. How are you today?
I'm okay. I feel like I'm still recovering, oddly enough, just from all the walking that we did in our marathon day on the floor. But, you know, other than that, it was good. I too now am officially joining Nikki's fan club, or not Nikki's fan club, Nikki's club of hatred against Ticketmaster, because I too, like Nikki with Taylor Swift, tried to secure some Dead & Company tickets for their residency in the Sphere today, and it went absolutely horribly. Ticketmaster is the worst ever, and the prices they charge are ridiculous, and I just hate everything about them right now. So.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there to be a fan of anyone. I paid an astronomical amount of money to go see Metallica later this year in August. And I just, it is what it is. This is what we got to do to go see those bands.
I was willing to pay probably way more than I should have budget wise. And I still couldn't even get in. So, yeah, you know.
Well, maybe we open with that. So last night, the Grammys took place. Dan, I know that you weren't able to see much of the Grammys, but certainly Nikki kept us up to date on everything. And we watched it back at home.
I feel like I know enough just from Nikki's updates alone. So yeah, we're good there.
Obviously, Nikki, you're the in-house Taylor Swift expert. I am still a Swiftie in training. I'm still learning a lot of different things. Taylor Swift comes in. First of all, it was a cool parallel because the weather in California obviously impacted Pebble Beach that we're going to be talking about briefly. But everyone was running in to the Grammys. Everyone was drenched, it seemed. Everyone had to fix their hair and or clothes, and it was just a weird scene. Taylor showing up a little bit later because of that, but she had a lot of Easter eggs going on her outfit, didn't she, Nikki?
Yeah, not just on her outfit, but on her social media profiles. She had changed her profile picture to black and white. Her website was down and giving an error code that was indicative of something reputation-esque. Oh, wow. Everyone was full clown car. Like, we were all crammed in there together that this was going to be the Reputation Taylor's Version announcement. I will say, a couple months ago when she started like coming out with the little outfits of the stars and the the zodiac signs and all that, I was like, maybe it's like a whole nother album. And I had a conversation with our other resident Taylor Swift fan about maybe it's another album. Maybe she's doing like a pattern of, you know, two re-records, new album. But then I just went off and I was like, no, it's just going to be Reputation. And then every time there would be like a theory, I'd be like, yes, Reputation today, it's going to happen today. And then it wouldn't. Right. And I'd be like, well, that's because it's going to happen like next week. And I, so when she got up there and said that I've been keeping the secret for 2 years, I was like, yep. Because she probably finished recording it 2 years ago and she's just been holding on to it. And then she said it was a new album. I lost my mind. So
literally, we saw the video of that. You losing your mind.
Yeah, I know. I was recording my reaction because I thought it for sure was going to be Reputation, but I yelled so loud. I woke up my son who was asleep. And so I had to go upstairs and get him and put him back to bed. And yeah, it was a lot. It's still a lot to process. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't this mean then? So she wrote two albums, correct me if I'm wrong. She wrote two albums during the pandemic. Does this mean that she wrote three during the pandemic? Like new albums?
So this one. She wrote this one during the breakup with Joe, allegedly. Okay. This album is so when Joe Alwyn was promoting the TV show that he was on, he did an interview with, I want to say Variety or something, where he said that he and some of the other cast members were in a group chat together called the poets something or other. And basically alluding like a very, very, very similar name to what the tortured men's department, I think is what they called themselves. Okay.
Similar to the new album
and,
name.
Yes.
Okay.
And he is from London. He's from Britain. And April 19th is known as the shot heard round the world. And so the start of the American Revolution. April 19th is also the day that Taylor famously had lunch with Blake Lively and Gigi Hadid. And after they left that lunch, they all unfollowed Joe on social media. So
this is why.
God, this is
she's coming for his throat with this album, I fear. It's either going to be a lot of really sad songs about them or a lot of very angry songs or maybe a combination of both, or who knows, maybe she's just totally trolling us and it's going to be like who knows at this point. Like I said, I was fully convinced she was releasing Reputation, then she released another album, so who knows. But crazy. There are she peppers that, like, if one thing about Taylor Swift, she's going to do something a little crazy and a little petty like that. So
Yeah, it's wild. Certainly something, because obviously I'm kind of like living vicariously through you and Samantha and even my wife who watches Taylor Swift a lot, you know, and this was happening last night. She wins her 13th Grammy and then she makes the announcement later on in the night. Of course, she wins her 14th, where she becomes the first ever artist to win Album of the Year four times, which is obscenely good. And we could probably talk for another hour and a half about the Grammys. Obviously, this being a golf show. What was happening. Go ahead, Dan.
Really quick, too, just non-Taylor related. I'm sure by now everyone's seen it if they didn't see it live, but Tracy Chapman, Fast Cars. Wow.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That was amazing. Incredible. Amazing.
Yeah. Very good call out. Incredible. Incredible. She hadn't performed in, I think, a couple decades live or something ridiculous. It was just insane to see that as well. So it was a good show overall. We like to sprinkle
that
in a
song,
little bit of pop culture.
I think specifically. Here. I believe it was that song specifically I've forgotten about it last night. I think she was like the final musical guest on Letterman, I want to say it was.
Right.
Which obviously would have been more recent than that, but I think it had been over 20 years since she had played that song specifically live.
Yeah, it's one of the best songs ever written, in my opinion. It's absolutely phenomenal. The fact that Luke Combs was able to do that and the story behind getting that collaboration together and everything that happened in his world as well as hers, of course, it was just great to see on stage. So that being said, who knows, folks, you might see a Grammys podcast coming up soon too as well. But let's talk a little bit about the golf. And obviously Pebble Beach, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am took place. Leading up to the week, guys, we had a lot of weather alerts coming through. We knew it wasn't going to be sunshine and paradise this week. We got some decent weather the first 2 days, but then the weekend hit, everything went downhill. They ended up calling it no 72 holes for this tournament. Sunday didn't happen. They said, you know what? We're not doing Monday either. Wyndham Clark ends up being named the winner after 54 holes. First of all, reactions to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, has it recaptured any of its allure that it once had? I don't think many people watch this tournament anymore. Dan, we'll start with you.
Okay, so two initial thoughts. First off, I'm prefacing this by saying that I understand it was weather related, but optics wise, now it was 54 holes, it was a limited field, no cut, higher prize pool. Essentially, this thing was a shotgun start missing, was the only thing missing from it being Live Pebble Beach. Now, yes, I understand it was weather related, but what's in front of us right now, you can't help but notice, you know, get the irony of that. One positive I will say, and I have been very publicly on the record about this for, I don't know, however long I've been talking into a microphone about golf, even predating Golf Unfiltered, for forever. Saturday at Pebble Beach was the most unwatchable thing in television history. Like it was just beyond unwatchable for actual golf fans, because all you saw all day Saturday were shots getting shanked by celebrities. And it was like, okay, if we wanted to watch that, we'd either go play ourselves or we'd go down and put a chair out at the local muni and like, what are we doing here? So I guess credit where it's sort of due, because they didn't do it on purpose, but obviously because they made it a limited field event, that obviously meant less celebrities, and they basically only had the celebrities there on Thursday and Friday. So Saturday was a little bit more watchable on its own. Obviously with what Wyndham Clark did, it made it even more watchable, but you have to wonder if had that happened, say last year, I don't know if I sure wouldn't have even been bothered to tune in, because I'd have been like, great. So I'm going to see him hit one shot out of his 60 and then watch, you know, Chris Berman shank 17 balls up and down the, nothing against Chris Berman, but it's like, it was unwatchable. So I guess from that standpoint, it was more watchable, and then they had that happen with Saturday too. But man, I mean, weather aside, when we're right now in this current Live PGA Tour battle, for that to end up being a 54 hole limited field, no cut, elevated purse event.
Not the best tournament in the world.
What would they have done if Ludwig had made that one other birdie and like they were tied after the end of Saturday? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, Wyndham Clark broke that record and like, but what would they have done? You know, would they have had to say it's a tie? Do they do that? I mean, because half of these guys are going into the waste management now, and half of them are stuck in California and having a hard time getting out because of the weather, or were stuck and having a, you know, delayed time getting out. And so it's like, I don't know, like, what do you do?
That's a great point. I think there is, and Dan, you might know, I don't actually know off the top of my head. I think there's like tiebreakers built into all the tournament finishes and all that.
I don't know about that, but and maybe there were people that were anticipating that could have possibly happened, because I don't remember the year and I don't remember all the details, but I vaguely remember over the weekend on Twitter seeing something about how there is precedent for, and it had happened at that specific event in the past, where it was essentially suspended and then resumed like 7 months later. Basically, like at the end of the season, they went back and finished it, basically. And I believe it actually happened at Pebble. I want to say it was sometime in the 50s. I apologize to the historians that are listening to this and yelling at me right now, like, don't you know, you know, but I vaguely remember seeing something like that. Because obviously too, Adam, you know, you and I, there was the possibility of, well, what was this going to mean for the sports books? How were they going to pay it out? You know, had there been a tie, had they declared it, you know, a 54 hole event, or had they, you know, said it was going to be suspended to be resumed later. So there was a ton of stuff being floated and online over the weekend about it. It didn't end up happening. I will say, I do feel a little bad for Ludwig. Now that Nikki brought him up, because I mean, in his mind, he figured he had 18 more to go and he was one shot down and he had all day Sunday to try to get it back. And unfortunately that opportunity did not present itself for him because of the weather.
Yeah. Wyndham Clark shooting 60 to go out and essentially end up winning it was a pretty decent round for him, to say the least.
Yeah.
As far as tiebreakers, we should just allow Tom Brady to do a long drive contest to choose the winner. I mean, he's obviously just, God, what a ridiculous video for that poor, poor bastard. I mean, you know what? And you guys know, I love Tom. But man, just wrong place, wrong time.
Somewhere in Nikki's house right now, that video is being shown on repeat, like just on a loop over and over again of him shanking that drive.
Oh, I saved multiple versions of it to my phone.
Good for you. Good. So that occurs. And then in parallel, Liv makes their third season debut in Mayakoba. John Rahm's Legion 13 team makes their triumphant debut as well. There's some new names and new faces. Tyrell Hatton and others are on the roster. Things get started off, Nikki, with a bang in every worst way possible of that phrase. We hear over the wire that
Hoople Beach tournament.
Yes.
Food poisoning. Apparently half the field gets afflicted with food poisoning. I didn't watch any of the coverage, but I mean, what else can happen? This is just comedy at this point for Live Golf.
Yeah, I really just wanted to Pebble Beach joke. That's all I really wanted to say about that, because what else can you say? I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's
funny
if you're in that situation. It's a little funny.
Well, that's true. No.
It's funny that, like, it's the one. How long did it take them to release the schedule? And everyone's like, what's going on? What's our tournament? How's it going to go? Then it's like the week before they release the schedule. Then we find out, oh, now everyone has food poisoning. The irony in the fact that John Rahm made such a big deal before he left the PGA Tour about there needs to be porta potties on every hole. We need more bathrooms. And then he leaves to go to Live. And there's like this poop situation that happens where everyone is down for the count. Like, you can't write a better story than that. I'm sorry. You just can't.
No,
you really can't. The irony of that happening at the tournament in Mexico too. It's not like it happened at some week in Vegas or in Chicago or even Australia. The fact that it happened in Mexico, just Montezuma will always remain undefeated. Never lost, never going to lose. We'll never lose. It is Mexico, folks. Like, the fact that this is still happening in the year of our Lord 2024. Like, how is the entire world at this point not known that, like, when you go to Mexico, do not eat certain things, do not drink certain things, make sure that everything is bottled and canned and sealed and like, just come on.
Yeah. let's as the in-house Mexicish heritage person here. Even my half of my family would tell you the same. It's rough. I mean, it's just when news breaks on this thing, no matter what Live Golf tries to do, and I have not been shy on my stance on Live Golf. I think they suck. There's nothing that I ever want anything to do with it. People ask me, are you going to go watch Live Golf, Live Chicago? No. Okay. I'm not going. I don't want to go. You're not going to catch me there. I'm going to die on that hill. But whenever something comes out, they want to take themselves seriously. And then something like this happens. And how can you possibly take this seriously? You know, it's just, it blows my mind. And I don't know why these things happen to this tour. It's probably just coincidence. Obviously it could happen to anybody, but for this to happen on their debut week is just mind blowing to me. And of course, at the end of the day, nobody has PGA Tour golf to watch on Sunday. Yeah. Now it seems like everyone's watching Live, at least on golf Twitter and social. And then we see a little bit of a turn of an about face, I would say. Did you guys notice kind of the same thing as how it's been covered by our friends over in social?
Well, it's almost like who gets the final laugh? Because at the beginning of the week, we're all laughing about, oh, everyone has food poisoning. Everyone is pooping their pants. Like, who's going to watch this tournament while everyone's in Pebble Beach? Like, this is Pebble Beach. And then a hurricane hits Pebble Beach and makes it to where they can't even play. And now everyone's watching Live anyway, because there's nothing else to watch. And so it's like, it feels like one of those like 90s, early 2000s, like rom-com kind of things where they like go back and forth playing pranks on each other. And like, maybe it's not pranks, or, you know, not that Live controls the weather and not that the PGA Tour put something in their food or anything, but that's just kind of the vibe you get where it's like the back and forth kind of, you know, war between the two sides. And it's like, at what point at the, are we going to reach in the rom-com where they like realize that they need to come together to defeat the greater enemy, which is who, you know, like.
Right. Yeah.
Adam, for those out there that weren't us, that weren't watching wrestling in the early, late 90s, early 2000s, we basically the rest of the world got introduced to the Wednesday Night Wars yesterday, essentially.
Right.
The PGA Tour did something and everyone changed their channels over to Live. So
That's right.
I do find interesting, too, though. You know, I tweeted out yesterday right after the announcement was made official that it was getting that you know, they were canceling the final round. You know, Liv's going to find out a lot today about who their fan base really is or how many people genuinely care. And I understand that golf Twitter is a very small microcosm of the world. And trust me, plenty of people on Twitter wanted to remind me that yesterday. But it was not lost on me how basically the overwhelming majority of golf Twitter treated yesterday's final round of that Live event like it they would have treated the final round of Pebble had it been played.
It's disgusting.
So yeah. I mean it was essentially Tony Schiavone telling the world yesterday that Mick Foley was going to win the championship, and everyone immediately right. changed the channel to watch Mick Foley win the championship. If you know, for the five people that's listening, you're going to get that reference. Yeah, but right. there's five of you out there, and I appreciate those five of you that just got that reference. But that's basically what the rest of the world witnessed and had happen yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, used to when there was like a rain delay or a weather delay on CBS during a golf tournament, they would just play the 2019 Masters for a while. That was their go-to. Can we just bring that back? Like, I mean, why? Like, that should just be the tape on deck for any delay, I think, especially for a CBS covered tournament. It should just be okie dokie. We're going to do this now. And because who wouldn't have turned the channel. No one would have. It would have been like, oh yeah, let's recap this. Let's do this now.
Yeah. I mean, can we talk about that for a second? So clearly, Dan, to your point, a lot of our colleagues, fellow golf media types, both independent and corporate, they changed their tune a little bit. Clearly, they get paid to talk about golf. Okay. So just as this preface, they get paid to talk about golf. They have to talk about Live Golf. Some of the biggest names, they're over there now. But where the hell did the energy go at the beginning? When everyone was against this for whatever reason, you know, morals or where the money was coming from or the fact that it was just a competitor to the PGA Tour. But now, I mean, do we lose our own minds? Like, do they have to talk about this way to satisfy an employer? Like, what is going on here? This is just blowing my mind.
I think some of it comes from the confusion of are we merging? Are we not merging? Hmm. Are we are we one thing? Are we not? Did their boss buy this tour? Did there's a lot of confusion around that now. Like, I know it came out recently about the, you know, who bought the PGA Tour out, but there's still a lot of questions around like, okay, is the Saudi investment fund going to buy them? Like, how involved are they? Are they still going to throw in some sort of money, you know, how, like, there's a lot of questions around that. There was a lot of questions even when it was just going to be the Saudi investment fund around how the merger, quote unquote merger, is going to work. Are we going to play nicely together? Are we still two separate entities? Are we, like, who knows? And I think a lot of that confusion around, well, if we're just going to be owned by the same people, does it really matter? And I think that, like, who cares attitude is where a lot of it is coming from, I think, at this point.
So for me yesterday, I think it was the perfect storm and it was kind of the icing on the cake, if you will, with the Live thing. But I've slowly started noticing this face turn for a while now. And yesterday we hit like a crescendo, but it's been happening slowly for a little while now. And it's not lost on me that it's happening in conjunction with the golfers themselves changing their mindsets about it. I feel like ever since Rory softened his stance on Liv and Jon Rahm went and now, Hatton went, and we found out today that Wyndham Clark did in fact sit down and have those meetings with them. And now everyone's just kind of like, okay, the money's here, we might as well take it. Ever since that started happening on the player side, I feel like the media has followed suit in there. It's almost like, okay, well, the players aren't as angry about it anymore, and their hatred level isn't as bad about it anymore. So we don't also need to be as angry about it anymore, which goes back to your point, Adam, of how much of that hatred was genuine and how much of it was just the popular thing to do at the time was to crap on it because the players were crapping on it, and now they're not anymore, so we won't anymore either.
The Golf Unfiltered podcast is supported by our friends at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. Located in Lamont, Illinois, Cog Hill features four challenging courses, including the world-famous Dubs Dread. They also boast one of the best golf academies in the state, featuring top tracer analytics at their driving range, heated bays, two bars, and so much more. Cog Hill has been a longtime sponsor of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and we are pleased to work with them once again in 2024. Go visit their website at coghillgolf.com right now to book your tee time. Mizuno Golf returns as another sponsor for the Golf Unfiltered podcast for 2024. We have really enjoyed partnering with Mizuno Golf because, let's face it, nothing feels like a Mizuno, and this holds true for every product in their arsenal, including their woods, irons, wedges, and anything that you put in your bag. Mizuno has long been known for their high quality and high performance, and we want to bring that to our games, and you should too. Go out to MizunoGolf.com right now to learn more about all their new products as well as how they can improve your game today. We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Sharp Focus Nutrition brings everything that you need to keep playing your best from a nutritional standpoint while you're on the course. Let's face it, we probably don't eat and drink the best when we're playing golf, especially on the weekends with our buddies when we're just out there to kill some time. The folks over at Sharp Focus Nutrition have developed a step-by-step nutritional system that you can implement into your game right now to play your best. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn a little bit more. The Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Sunday Golf. Let's face it, golf bags are a dime a dozen right now, but Sunday Golf offers different models and lightweight bag options for any golfer, no matter the course or number of clubs that you prefer to carry. I personally use the 14-club Ryder 23 bag as my everyday gamer, but I also have a 6-club Loma bag for my practice sessions and casual weekend rounds. You'll love Sunday Golf's casual take on the game, including their golf bags, apparel, and accessories. Be sure to visit sundaygolf.com to learn more.
Yeah,
it's kind of
that's
like
well said.
When it's kind of like when everyone was commenting on all of John Mayer's Instagram posts and saying all of the like, oh, dear John. Oh, you should have left her alone. Oh, she was 19. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then Taylor came out at one of her concerts and she was like, guys, just like stop commenting on his posts. Like, leave him alone. You don't even know who I write these songs about. And they're like, hey, if Taylor's cool with him, work with him. And they kind of backed off on the comments. So you know what? That's how I see it. Not to bring Taylor Swift back into it, but I'm going to.
No, hey, you know what? Right. Listen, you bring her up as often as you want. This is not a camera cut BS. You know what? I don't care. We talk about her every episode. You know, it's interesting because with the way that people are like the Rory thing where he did soften his stance, at least verbally, publicly, compared to what he originally said.
He left the golf group chat because he didn't like what Speed said about the Saudis. I mean, look at that.
Big move. It's a big move. You know, but it's also a matter of people running with the headline now of, oh, Rory is completely two-faced, or he's, you know, flipped 180 or whatever. Listen, he may have softened his opinion on these things. Many of us may have done that. Rory has not come out and said, you know what, I was completely wrong about everything. Now, to be fair, he did say he was probably a little too judgmental at the time, but it's not like he's totally a live supporter now, you know? So I think people who, and this is the day and age we live in, people take a quote out of context, they run with it, it's a headline, and it's, you know, 10 different places. Rory is still the same dude. I mean, the fact that he left the group chat and he also left the player advisory board, I mean, that speaks volumes. He doesn't want to deal with any of this stuff anymore. And I think we're going to see more players kind of follow suit along those lines.
Yeah. Also, it's interesting, too. We talk about timelines. And I think we saw it with a lot of these guys. I think that a lot of these guys on tour, the ones who played in this past Ryder Cup, when they were in the same team room once again with Brooks specifically, I think that that kind of changed their tune a little bit. I don't know. I think that they were back out there just playing with him again, and they just saw him and they were hanging around with him. And it was like, okay, well, you know, money aside and Saudi investment aside, you know, these guys, Brooks Koepka is no different than he was a year ago because he's now playing on the LIV Tour. He's still the same guy that I played with, you know, for my entire career. And so, you know, like I said, it's been a slow move, and everything that's happened, whether it's been agreements or influx of cash or, well, now this guy's going and I'm friends with him, so now maybe I should be careful what I'm saying now anymore. Mm-hmm. And for the players, I don't think it's the fake outrage as much as I think it is for some of the media members. Like I said, I think for some of the media members, it was, well, the PGA Tour guys are mad about it, so we just should be mad about it too. I think there are some of these players that are just, whether it's Rory and they're just sick of it all, and they're like, I just don't care about any of this either way anymore. Or it's just apathy setting in because they know that no matter what they say or do, it's either going to happen or not happen, and it's going to have nothing to do with them, whatever ends up happening. And they're just kind of like, okay, I mean, it is what it is now. It's just life. It's just, yeah. I'm just going to go keep playing golf every week, and whatever happens behind the scenes, it is what it is now.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. I think as time goes on, you know, and as we transition to this week's a tournament at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, obviously one of the most popular tournament stops on the PGA Tour. It's got a lot of fanfare. It's a very different type of tournament. I've been once. I don't think I need to go again. Have you guys gone ever to the... No? Dan, you, Nikki?
No.
It's fine. I don't know. It's the 16th hole is something that every golf fan should at least experience one time. Period. It's a blast. It's a party. You got to get there very early. You got to run, do all the things. Dan, you would love it. They're running a sports book in the stands at the time. It's absolutely insane, but it'll be interesting because this is now an elevated event again, or no, did they not do that
this year?
Not this year.
No. Okay. And it's sold out already as a non-elevated event, even. And right. The Super Bowl's not even
and made Pebble Beach the elevated event.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. They did flip it. All right. So that being said, though, it's still a party, and it's going to be a big testament to, maybe not a testament, but maybe a temperature gauge on how popular this tour still is, I think. Now, Dan, you just mentioned that they're already sold out. For Saturday. This is one of the big events of the year for the tour. I mean, Nikki, if we see, do you think we're going to see any difference in the feeling, the atmosphere of this tournament that is annually one of the biggest ones? Or do you think we're going to see something different?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a lot of the same. I think last year was like, we may see a little bit less than it was last year. Like last year was huge because the Super Bowl was in the same, like it always typically falls on Super Bowl weekend, but the Super Bowl was in the same location. So you had players, like some players going straight from the tournament over to the Super Bowl. You had celebrities who were in town for the Super Bowl going to the tournament. Like you had a lot of overlap between the two. And it's not in the same city. It's nearby. It's close-ish. Right. But it's not in the same place, but it is still, like, to your point, one of the more popular fan events. That being said, there are a lot of people who go to this tournament who do not go for golf. There mm-hmm. are a lot of people who go to this tournament who go because it is known for the party. Like, they do not go because they follow these players or they, like, want, like, they care about their FedEx Cup ranking or they want to like see certain people. Like, they're there for the party. You probably have about, my guess would be like 70% those people, and then like 30% people who are going for the golf. Whereas other tournaments, it's a little bit flip-flopped. So I think to say like, oh, are people so excited about the players that they're seeing and this, that, and the other? This tournament? No, I don't think so. I think people who are there are excited to be there because of what it is. But I don't think people necessarily care who's playing, who isn't. Like, I don't think people are going to be that bummed out that Rahm isn't there or that right. Tyrell Hatton isn't there, because the people who are going to stack cups up in a row in the bleachers. And, you know, like, I don't know. That's my personal opinion on it.
Yeah, makes sense. Dan, where you're at it with this whole thing? Do you think the tournament still has the same allure this week?
Yeah, I mean, the irony of that, we were talking, the irony of last year, you know, I think it's been three times now where it's the Super Bowl has been in town the same, because it's always Super Bowl weekend. The irony of the fact that LIV is hosting their event this week in the town where the Super Bowl is.
Right.
You know, so it'll be interesting. I'll be curious to see if some of the celebrities that may have been there, especially on that Wednesday Pro-Am day, maybe don't go to Phoenix and just stick around in Vegas because they can stay in town and still go to a golf tournament. So that part I think will be interesting to me. I don't think from a fan standpoint it's going to change. I think there are certain events on the calendar that you and I could go be the field for, and you would still get a sellout, because like Nikki said, they're not really there to see a specific golfer. They're there to party, and there's a golf tournament going on in the background, and when someone doesn't hit the green on 16, they're going to boom, and when they hit the green, they're going to cheer, and they're going to place their bets for closest to the hole, and they're going to do their things, and they're going to stack their cups, and they'll walk around the rest of the course throughout the day, and they'll run to their spot, you know, when they get there early in the morning, and that'll never change based on the field. I think what's going to be interesting to me is beyond just this week at Waste Management, there are those, I almost want to call them fringe tournaments, and fringe probably isn't the right word, but I'll explain what I mean by it. Basically, and I think of like tournaments like the Honda down here, where for a long time in the late 2010s, early 2020s, when Tiger and Rory and the big names were showing up every year because they live here, it was the tournament of the area. Like it was drawing the major crowds, like some of these other, you know, legacy events would get 17 there at the Bear Trap. It was almost turned into like a mini version of 16 at Phoenix. There was a lot of partying, a lot, you know, it turned into almost like an event with a golf tournament going on in the background. We used to always see those videos from inside the clubhouse, you know, of all the guys in their 40s with their khaki shorts and their polos dancing, you know, at 11 o'clock at night to Sierra songs or whatever the DJ was playing.
As one does.
And then, And then when this new schedule came about and the elevated events, and they basically squished this tournament in between, at the time it was the WGC Doral, which then became WGC Mexico, and the Arnold Palmer, which became an elevated event. So you basically sandwiched it in the middle of these elevate, which even now it's basically, it kicks off the Florida Swing. So you literally go from the Honda to Bay Hill and then to the Players. So I'm curious to know, because they have a new sponsor now. The tour has kind of taken over somewhat running the event. Are events like that are like when the big name players are there, the fans go, and when the big name players aren't, the fans don't go as often. Will events like that continue to get hurt now by not just the schedule as it continued to, but this appeared apathy of the golf fan? Will golf fans just be like, why am I going to spend $30 on a beer, and you know, for what right. now? For what's the point? So in a long-winded way, very long-winded way, no, I think Phoenix is safe for forever. For as long as that 16th hole exists, it will be safe. And I think you will have some events that are basically safe from no matter what happens as far as guys showing up or not showing up, or the perceived apathy of golf fans, because you'll have enough of the fans that just want to be out there to party.
Yeah.
We saw this week, I think even if Pebble doesn't keep an elevated status, I think people will go to Pebble because it's Pebble. You're going there because you want Pebble. To be at Pebble. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Those events, I think, will remain safe and will always be safe. But it's some of these other events, as we're moving into that part of the season now, where the Florida Swing used to be like, that used to be the part of the season where all the big names really started. That's kind of where a lot of them, Adam Scott famously would basically start his season in the Florida Swing and gear up as you get ready to go to the Masters. And now it seems like it's, I don't want to call it an afterthought, because people will still play the Players. Once again, the Players is like another one of those tournaments that people always go there. Nikki, you were there last year. You know exactly what I'm talking about, where it's a party. People are there to party, and there's a golf tournament going on in the background. You want to sit on 17 and have your beers and watch people hit balls in the water and whatnot. So that's another example of, it doesn't have to be an elevated event. It's safe. There will always be people that will go, but these other events where, well, one year maybe an elevated event and then it's not an elevated event. So who knows who's going to show up this year, right? And do fans want to still pay for their $30 beers to see, you know, the rank and file people? Those are the ones that I'm more curious to see now what's going to happen to those as we continue to have this PGA Live battle going on.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I agree. I'm a little worried about it from a novelty standpoint. And I only say that because I don't know how much bigger they can make that stadium hole. I don't know how much, I mean, there's always going to be people that want to go and party, like you've been saying, and Nikki, you said the same. So maybe I'm totally off base here, but I hope there's some big stories that come out of this tournament soon. There's a potential for a big story to come out with Scottie Scheffler potentially becoming the first three-time winner in a row at the same tournament since 09, Steve Stricker at the local John Deere Classic, which is, you know, that's about as close to Chicago as Live Chicago was. But my point being, that is a storyline that could be more and different than just a bunch of people getting drunk at a golf course in Arizona. You know, that's my only worry about it. Because quite frankly, everyone knows 16. I've been there and I couldn't even tell you another hole that I find even interesting, you know? So I guess every course, every tournament's got its own thing.
I've played it a million times on PGA Tour on my PS5. And basically it's just like, all right, let me just get through these first 15 holes as quickly as possible so I can play 16 and it can look cool. Right. And then it's like, all right, I'm done now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, we mentioned Super Bowl a couple times. I know we want to give our Super Bowl predictions. Now, look, I'm not one to gloat. Okay. I'm just going to say this. I've got a championship fantasy football ring downstairs that I did by myself because I'm a nerd, but I did. And so I just wanted to throw that out there that means nothing, I guess, now that I think of it, in terms of what my Super Bowl prediction will be. But we have two teams that are going to be extremely fun to watch. They're not the teams that I think many of us thought would be in the Super Bowl. Shout out to our friends over in Detroit. I have a friend in general, in specific, rather. He had to leave the bar early. He couldn't watch the end of the game. He had to leave. And I totally understand. He was a lifelong Detroit fan. But Nikki,
we had to leave. Well, I shouldn't say we had to, but you know, my wife, obviously being from Detroit and whatnot, it was the late game on Sunday. You know, she tends to go to bed early. So we also left at halftime of the, I mean, we came home and kept the game going, but it was just like, I'm sitting there watching it and I'm not even a Lions fan. I'm not from Detroit. I mean, I guess I'm a Lions fan now by proxy, but like, I'm just sitting there. I was like, the Lions are doing exactly what the Lions do. And but also at the same time, in the back of my head, I kept thinking, I'm like, we were so close to Nikki having to come on air and talk about Jerry Goff playing in a Super Bowl. We were so close.
Yeah, I know. I wanted it for the Lions, don't get me wrong, just for the story, pure storyline. But I was also holding my breath a little bit. I was like, I will not live that down. They're going to pull the clips and I'm going to have to eat my words a little bit. So,
Your prediction of the public apology almost came true very quickly.
That was going to be like real early in the year. I was going to have to, follow through on that one. So, thanks for that.
I'm sure we know who Nikki's rooting for this week, though. I think that's not hard.
Okay.
To
see, that's what I was just about to say, though. Like, I'm not a huge fan of either of these teams. And I know that everyone is probably assuming like, oh, you want the Chiefs to win because of Taylor's boyfriend. But I don't, because like, this would be Patrick Mahomes' third Super Bowl and he's not even 30. And like, that's starting to head down the Tom Brady path, and we all know how about Tom Brady, and it's not like it's not I don't even feel that way about Tom Brady because of how good he is, but like, you know, I just don't want that for Mahomes, you know, like I want you to stay humble, man. I want you to stay humble. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to turn into that kind of person. I don't know. But at the same time, I do not want Kyle Shanahan to have any sort
That's right.
Good fortune whatsoever, because that man does not deserve it after what he did to us in Super Bowl 51. Because I, as much as I blame Tom Brady for that, I also blame it truly is Shanahan's fault. So that being said, I am rooting for the commercials.
Oh, there you go.
This year. That is
that's your official prediction.
I gotta say one thing, Taylor Swift related here, and I know I'm gonna get clipped, and I know Adam's gonna do this in a way where I'm gonna get the Swifties in my mentions, but out of the gate, I'm gonna say, I say this in jest, but like, it is kind of funny, like, in her first season as a Chiefs fan, I know she's a Chiefs fan because, you know, whatever, like, they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like she should have to suffer like the rest of us football fans for a while and not get to go like to the Super Bowl in her first year of being the fan of the team, because her boy, like, I get, and I'm not serious about any of this. Like, obviously I'm very happy for the two of them and whatnot, but like,
no, I feel get, like there I get should that be some feeling.
Suffering.
Like, it's not,
you should have to feel the suffering fair. That we all feel.
Yeah. Although I do feel like Travis is on that like verge of like if he won again, like I could see him retiring.
Yeah. So 100%.
Like
yep.
To
yeah,
all yeah, the, yeah. to all the people who are like, I'm tired of it. Like, well, just let him win and maybe he'll retire and then you won't have to feel it anymore. Yeah. You know, like,
in all seriousness, I think that's a very possible thing happening. I think if they win, I think he's done. His brother,
I could see
of course,
Andy re-retiring too. I know that everyone's talking about how, and you know, hate to bring him up, but I know everyone's talking about the fact that Belichick's done and he's not going to get a job this hiring cycle. Not so fast, because if the Chiefs win, I think Andy Reid very well might retire. And who's still sitting around?
Oh my God, do not say that,
not
because
then
he would get Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's going to happen. I'm telling you, Dan, you're reading between the lines like me. I think that's a real possibility. I mean, I think, okay, just to go off on a little tangent here. I mean, I firmly believe that's going to happen. I do not see the 49ers winning this game. Now, as a gambling man, there's certain bets that I will place, hopefully to benefit myself. But I think the Chiefs win. I think everything you guys just talked about does happen. From the Taylor Travis standpoint, I mean, clearly that's going to go. They're going to ride off into the sunset. They're going to have a wonderful life together. That's going to be a great story. It's the next chapter for all you romantics out there that I think makes the most sense. And that's what I would like to see. But honestly, Belichick going to the Chiefs, I think, is a real possibility. Justin Fields going to the Atlanta Falcons, I think, is going to happen. I don't mean to like go down this path, but I do think that's going to happen.
Nikki annoyed today.
I know. I'm purposely trying not to make eye contact right now, but I think all of these things have a way of panning out, and maybe I'm wrong. I think Christian McCaffrey is a hell of an X factor, but I don't know. I got to go Chiefs.
If there was a way that Christian McCaffrey could get a ring without Shanahan getting one, that would be great.
That would be ideal.
But
Dan, are you going Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chiefs too. Also, you know, just to maybe make Nikki feel a little bit better, there is one other name that's still sitting out there who also hasn't got a job yet. Although he is a Belichick disciple in the sense that he played for him and coached for him. But I mean, Vrabel's out there too. So maybe Vrabel gets the job if Andy Reid retires. But I feel like that's just an extension of Belichick at that point.
Certainly didn't translate well in Tennessee. Yeah. That's for sure.
It did. What, 2 years ago when they had that magical run with Tannehill? Was it two?
Here's a question for you. The Tennessee, we're down a rabbit hole now, and I apologize, folks. But Derrick Henry, is he done? Does he go to Atlanta?
I don't think he's done. I think that I think he goes where Vrabel goes. So I think if Vrabel ends up somewhere this year, I think that we could see Henry go wherever that is on, you know, the league vet minimum deal or whatever, just to get one last go of it. But man, he looked old this year.
He sure did.
But I will say one last thing about the Chiefs too is before the playoffs had started, there's no way I wish I had at this point, because I'm sure you would have got great odds on it. There's no way I would have expected the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl. In fact, when the Dolphins lost that week, the last week of the regular season, when the Dolphins lost, and as a result of that loss, they had to go to Kansas City for their first round before we knew it was going to be 50 degrees below zero. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm like, I almost think that that's a better scenario than having to play Buffalo again. I would almost rather go play Kansas City, because at that point they were just not good at all, or they weren't looking good at all. And then leave it to Mahomes and Kelsey to turn the after jets on, or the afterburners on, once the playoffs gets going again.
So not to put this out into the universe, but someone else has already put this out in the universe, so it's not on me. The timelines and weird things, like comparing this Super Bowl and other things that have happened in 2024 to the year 2020, there's a lot of similarities. For example, it's the same Super Bowl. It's 49ers Chiefs. It's also the same head ref for the 2020 Super Bowl is the same head ref in this Super Bowl, which a lot of 49ers fans are not happy about, because if you remember, there was a big holding call on Bosa in that game that made a big impact. So there's already a lot of people upset about that. But regardless, it's the same head ref. The same two top political candidates,
right?
Both parties are the same top two political candidates for both parties. And Taylor Swift announced a surprise album on stage at an award show both of those years. So, who knows? If you go by that, then it's probably going to be the Chiefs. But who knows?
I think it makes sense. I was not aware of the ref thing. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know about the ref thing either. That's wow. All right.
No. Yeah. Well, folks, that is a fun fact. Folks, let us know in the comments, if you're watching this on YouTube, who your predictions are for the Super Bowl. Maybe if somebody, and you put the score in there too, if you are so inclined, perhaps we'll send you something if you hit the nail on the head there. But so Nikki, commercials, Dan, Chiefs, I'm still going Chiefs. That might flip-flop many times between now and Sunday. But
yeah, I mean, you're asking me, we still have another 7 days to dissect every little thing. I found out today that the 49ers don't like their practice field because they got put at UNLV's campus, and the Chiefs got put at the Raiders facility, and the 49ers are already supposedly complaining about the practice field. So there's a million things that can happen between now and Sunday.
Well,
they're also wearing the same color jerseys as they did in the 2020 Super Bowl, by the way.
See? Wow. So. Well, take that for what it's worth, folks. I mean, place your bets now if you're of that ilk. Be sure to follow Nikki at Nikki Dunnigan on Twitter, as well as all the other social media places. Dan Houser as well, at Dan Houser Sports. I'm sure we're going to be talking about all of this leading up to Sunday. Let us know your picks. We're going to definitely be back very soon to talk more about not only the Super Bowl. I think we should definitely do that. Stay tuned, too, because we may have some other surprise podcast guests coming up. We've got a lot of things in the works. And be sure to go out to golfunfiltered.com, of course, to check out all of our work, as well as to our friends over at Bridgestone Golf and all the new products. You saw the video that Dan and I shot down in Orlando. They've got some cool stuff coming up. And be sure to support our friends over there. So, that being said, we're up against the clock here. For Nikki Dunnigan, for Dan Houser, I'm Adam Fonseca from Golf Unfiltered. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again very soon.